Open up your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 4, very familiar passage of Scripture, and I will try to expedite things here this morning. I always try that, it never works, but I have to remind myself to at least try at the beginning. John chapter 4, and you know the story. I'm not going to take time to read the whole thing, but the Lord is, you know, with the disciples, and it says he must needs go through Samaria, and he comes to the woman at the well. And we've been over this and preached on this passage many a times. I'm sure I don't need to read the whole passage, but I would like you to look at verse 7 down here. It says this, there cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And that's a pretty amazing statement. He asks her for a drink of water. And they go through and they start sparring back and forth. And then down in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. I think that statement right there, if thou knewest the gift of God, is an amazing statement. Amen. And if you think about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and I just in our lives on this earth, but spiritually and eternally, the price that he paid on Calvary's cross to pay for our sins, if we just stop and consider the gift that he offers. Amen? What an amazing thing. If we just ponder a little bit, we sing these songs of praise before, you know, before service starts. And I love the music part. I enjoy singing. I enjoy the music. It is a great time. I enjoy you folks. You sing out. You're not afraid to sing out. And that's great. That's the advantage of not having a professional up front, is you don't feel inferior. You feel superior. I like that. Trust me, you are. But when you start, when you sing those praises and those songs of the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope in the back of your mind, you're thinking about the Lord. Amen? I mean, when you sang that song, When I See the Blood, I was thinking about what he did for me on Calvary's cross. Amen? A blessed Redeemer. What a blessed Redeemer he is. And he said to this woman at the well there, he said, if thou knewest the gift of God. And then he talked to her about the living water. So I've titled this message this morning just simply this, water. Now, water is an amazing substance. It really is. And most of you know a lot of these facts about water. But 97% of the earth's water is salty. It's oceans. Right? It's not fit to drink. We can preach on that for a while. 97% of what the earth has to offer isn't fit to consume. Amen? Not for a born-again child of God, but not for anybody for that matter. 2.1% is locked up in the polar ice caps, and less than 1% is available for drinking. Think about that. The Lord offers living water, and there's only 1% that's really available in an earthly sense for human consumption. You know, that if you stop and consider the gift that he offered, it's pretty rare. Amen? It's pretty precious. They say that water has a property of being sticky. You know, the waters love to, the molecules love to stick together. That's why it forms those balls, and you do all those kinds of experiments in school when you see that. And it has a large surface tension. But that's what helps you pull blood up through your veins. There's just some amazing things about water. Water should be a gas at room temperature. I mean, a lot of other chemicals that have the same or similar makeups are gas at room temperature. But because of that stickiness of water, it's a liquid at room temperature. I'm glad. I mean, I could scuba dive in air, but it wouldn't be anywhere near as fun. They say that hot water freezes faster than cold water. And that's that effect is called the, I don't even know how you say it, M-P-E-M-B-A, Mpemba effect. You say, what on earth is that? Well, it was a guy in Tanzania. And he noticed in the cooking class of all things that when he was freezing ice cream, that the hot ice cream would freeze faster than the cold ice cream. And so he started, you know, questioning this, and they had a physicist come in and was making a presentation to the school, and he asked the question why that was true, and he got laughed to scorn. Everybody thought he was crazy. Well, then they went and they started doing a bunch of experiments, and sure enough, they found that is true. Hot water freezes faster than cold water. It's just an amazing substance. You know, on the top of Mount Everest, they say that water boils at 154 degrees. Normal boiling temperature is 212, right? But because of the pressure difference, it boils at 154 degrees. Here's one that I found very interesting, and I'm not sure if I buy it or not, because I just can't get my mind wrapped around it. I'm sure it's probably too true because, you know, I read it on the internet. But it said this, it said that there are more molecules in a teaspoon of water than there are teaspoons of water in the Atlantic Ocean. That's pretty wild to think about. You see what I mean? I couldn't really get my head wrapped around this. And I know we've talked about this before, but water is an amazing subject. And here just a few days ago, they made a discovery. You guys remember that ship, USS Indianapolis? I preached about it. It's a shipwreck, and they were taking the atomic bomb over to be dropped on Japan during World War II. And of course, they were hit by torpedoes on the way back. And the crew, there was 900 and some people, and only about 300 made it. But the crew was stranded for like 4.5 days in the water in the ocean. The amazing thing. That ship sunk in about 12 minutes. There was 1,196 crew members. But recently they ran across some new information. They were doing some research on it. Maybe you've seen this in the news. I found it fascinating. But on August 19th, just a couple weeks ago, there was somebody that actually found the USS Indianapolis. Actually found the ship. It's in about 18,000 feet of water. This guy obviously is a very wealthy individual. He's been searching for it for a long time. But it's in about 18,000 feet of water. And what had happened is the records where they estimated that the ship went down were incorrect. And some researcher ran across just one statement in a ship's log of a sighting that they had a few hours before the ship sank. And so by doing, you know, some calculations and figuring out where this ship was at that point in time, they realized they had been searching too far east for the ship. And they moved their search grid about 600 miles west. And sure enough, they found the USS Indianapolis on, I think it was August 19th was the day they found it. There's a piece of the wreckage. Very interesting. There's the hull number, 35. There's the ship's bells. And there was an individual that was on that ship. There's very few people that are still alive that were rescued. But Edgar Harrell was a survivor, and he recalls what it was like after they were torpedoed. And he recalls being in the water, and one of the things that comes to the forefront of his mind was being out there in the water and the thirst and the dehydration that those men had to endure. In John chapter 4, Jesus Christ has come to this woman in the well, and he's asked her for a drink, and she argues and banters back and forth with him for a little while. And finally, down in John 4, verse 15, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not. Give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Listen, both of these situations, the survivors in the Indianapolis, and this woman at the well, they had a common problem. Amen? Both of them had a common problem. They needed living water. Now, those men on the Indianapolis had to endure days and days without water. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along. But this woman at the well needed water just as much as those men on that Indianapolis. Listen, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll just get started off by talking about the living water that he was offering her. That living water in type is salvation. It is realizing the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins and for mine, and coming to the place where you realize, I need that water. Now, the woman at the well, she needed the water. Those folks out in that ocean, after that Indianapolis was sunk, they needed the water. There was no doubt in their mind about what their need was. And if you've never been born again, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ here this morning, listen, as we talk about this water, I want you to think about Jesus Christ sitting on the edge of that well, talking to a woman from Samaria, an outsider, an outcast, you know, one of them people, right? She wasn't Jewish. Sitting there talking to her and offering her living water. 1% of it is fresh enough for us to drink on this planet. And he's offering to her something so precious. And he said to her, if you just grasp the gift that I'm offering you, if you could just understand the gift that I'm offering you. But Edgar Harl, survivor, recalled, one of the things he recalled was that severe thirst and the dehydration that those men went through. Like I said, both the situations of the Indianapolis and the woman at the well had a common problem. They needed water. One very physically out in the middle of the ocean, but the other spiritually. Amen? And you and I need that water spiritually. We need it to be born again. But Christian, we need to be filled up with that water on a daily basis as well. Amen? Because there's a chance that we, as Christians, as born-again Christians, get away from God, and listen, we start to dehydrate. Amen? We start to dehydrate. But I was thinking about this passage, and it reminded me of another passage back in the Old Testament, and talking about water, and again, thinking about that water being a type of God the Father, and how much we need Him, and how much, you know, He's an essential part of who we are and our being. You can't live without water. And I was thinking, what did those men out there in that ocean, surrounded by that 97% of the water that they couldn't drink, dehydrating, how severe was their longing for some water that they could actually use? Don't you know that had to have been immensely profound in their mind? Just sitting out there floating on some scrap piece of wood, some remnant of a lifeboat, a few life preservers tied together in water, surrounded by water, but needing water. And Christian, sometimes the Christian life is like that. Sometimes you and I walk around this planet and we are surrounded by water, so it seems. But we're dry. We're dry. Sometimes we're surrounded by water, but we're dry. And the Lord offers living water. And I got to thinking about that. And you know, there's a couple of things that you need if you're going to come out of a dry spell. And that's what we're talking about here this morning. For a Christian, we're talking about coming out of a dry spell. Listen, every one of us as Christians walks this planet, we walk this life. We live our Christian life on ups and downs, and there's times we rejoice and sing praise the Lord and are so thankful for even the minuscule things in life, and there are other times where we just can't seem to be content no matter what happens. Why is that? Because we're running dry. Because we're running a little low on water. And the Lord offers us this water, again, for salvation, yes, but for a Christian, He offers you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that woman at the well, and those men out in the ocean, they knew they needed that water. You see, they were dry. And it reminded me of, what do we need to get that living water? Go back to 2 Samuel chapter 23, if you will, real quick. 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And David's going through talking about his mighty men. He's talking about these three mighty men. He goes through and he's talking about all of them, but he starts off with these three mighty men, the three that are first and foremost in his mind. And there's Adino and Eleazar and Shammah. And then he gets down to verse 15 and he recounts this famous story. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well in Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." Listen, do you know what David had? You know what that woman had? You know what those men on the Indianapolis had when they were out floating in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean? They had a desire for that water. You know what happens to you and I as a Christian? We go through life, we go through our ups and downs, and we get to the point where we're going through a dry spell. Where things just aren't working right, right? Where our spiritually, we're in this lull and we're dry. I mean, we're just dry. And you know what we need before anything else? We need a drink of water. But that woman at the well, she started arguing back and forth with the Lord Jesus Christ about this whole prospect of water. Now, the men in the Indianapolis, they knew they needed water. Right? There is no question. They were humbled to the point. They were down at the bottom of this. It's as bad as it gets when your ship gets shot out from under you in the middle of the ocean. That's not a good thing. Right? They knew they were in a position where they needed water. There was no doubt. This woman, you know, she bantered a little bit back and forth, finally caught on and realized it. But David's out there in the cave of Adullam. And the Philistines are in. They've got Bethlehem as their garrison. So the enemies of Israel are around Bethlehem. And David's out with his men, and just off the top of his head, he's just longing for the things. You ever been there, Christian? You ever been there at a place where you're longing for the times past when you were at a spiritual place where there used to be this living water? There used to be this comfortable place where you could go to this well at Bethlehem and sit down and drink, and the water was cool and it was sweet, and the fellowship with God was so good. And David's out in the middle of the wilderness now, and guess who's got the well? The Philistines. David's in a dry place. Spiritually in a dry place. He's sitting out there, and he's just, off the top of his mind, he goes, Oh, that I could just have a drink from the water of the well that's at Bethlehem. Oh, Christian, if we could get there. If I could just have a drink. David has a desire for that water that he missed. David, in type here, in picture, David was going through a dry spell. He wasn't where he should be. He should have been king in Jerusalem, right? Bethlehem should have been his territory. Listen, Christian, we should be victorious, right? We should be living on top of the world. We should be living with joy in our hearts. We should be living, you know, we should be living that abundant life that we always hear about in Christianity. And sometimes we go through these dry spells, and sometimes we sit back and we long for the day. Oh, if I was just had the microphone somewhere else. We long for the day when we were in a different spiritual place. Because it was so sweet. You remember what it was like to be back there? You remember that, Christian? Do you remember what it was like? I mean, pick a time. Think about your Christian walk. Pick a time. Go back in time when you were at the well. And the water was sweet. And the water was cool. And the water was refreshing. And that fellowship that you had with the Lord was good. That's what David's longing for. David's out there in the cave and his mighty men are around him. And he just wants to be back at the well with the water. They say that about a 1.5% drop in your body's water content start the dehydration process. So somewhere around 2 to 3 pounds of water, once you've lost that weight, just again, I know everybody weighs something a little bit different, but work with me here. Once you've lost 2 to 3 pounds of water, your body starts going through dehydration. You start having effects in your body that adversely affect your health. Do you know you lose that much water almost daily just by breathing and living? Think about that. You know what that means? That means, brother, spiritually, if I were to apply that spiritually, every day I lose enough of that life-giving water that I need to go back and have it renewed daily, or I start going into dehydration just by breathing and living. I'm not even talking about if you work out, right? Or do some strenuous activity where you're sweating an awful lot. I'm talking about just by breathing, you lose almost a pound of water a day. Just the process of breathing. Spiritually, if I want to get back to that place, if I want to get back to that well where that woman is sitting, the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting there, that well at Bethlehem, that, well, she's in Samaria and Sychar, but David's thinking of that well in Bethlehem, and he's going, if I could just get back to that spiritual place, if I just had some water. And you know what? Every day, every time I breathe, I lose more water from my body. If I apply that spiritually, every time I breathe, I need to be thinking about refreshing myself with the Lord. Amen. Every time I breathe, every time I go through a day, I need to be looking to the Lord for a renewal, for something fresh, for something new. I don't need to long to be back by the well at Bethlehem. I need to be at the well at Bethlehem, refreshing myself on a continual basis. But David's in a place where he's not at the well. And all three of those categories, David, the woman, the men out in those Indianapolis, this whole process for them started with one thing, and that is a desire for that water. Right? Listen, you're going to lose your spiritual mojo just by breathing. Just by being on this earth. You've got to get back to a place where you can refresh yourself and where you can have that water renew your spirit. Because otherwise, you will slowly drain away and dehydration will start to take over. Listen, there are many things that you may want to do that you may not necessarily be able to do when you're dehydrated. I heard a preacher use this illustration. I thought it was pretty good. You know what he said? He said, I like kissing my wife. Amen. That's pretty good. But you know what happens when you get dehydrated? Your lips start getting dry. If you let it go too long, your lips start cracking. And then they start hurting. And then the idea of kissing your wife, you go, there's pain involved with that. All right? Why? Because you're dehydrated. Think about that spiritually. You lose that spiritual hydration. You go for a while without talking with the Lord. You go for a while without being in your Bible. You go for a while without prayer. You go for a while without being in church. You go for a while without thinking about the Lord. Listen, slowly but surely, just by breathing, you're going to lose some of it. Your lips are going to start to crack. And then some of the things that you like to do, get a hold of this, are going to be painful. Amen. Amen? Some of the things that you may like to do are going to be painful. Why? Because you're dehydrated. You can't do them. Right? You can't do that. You lose 4% of your body weight. That's like going without water for 2 days. It starts affecting your blood, affect your kidneys, can affect your heart. Oh, that'll preach. You start running some risks of your body starts shutting down. You lose 10% of your 10% of your body weight. It's like going 5 days without water. You're getting into some pretty dire circumstances. Just 5 days. Let me ask you this. You ever gone 5 days without your Bible? You ever gone 5 days? See, we sit in the cave like David, and we long for the water of Bethlehem. Oh, it would be so sweet if I was just there. It would be so good if I was there, and it is. And the memories that you have of being in that place are good memories, and it's encouraging, and you want to think about that. But the problem is just the process of living and breathing, you start dehydrating, you start losing that thing, and you have to find a way to refresh it. And each one of those three groups, David longed for the well at Bethlehem. You know what you have to do in order to recover from this dehydration process? You have to long for that water. Those men on the Indianapolis, they were out there and they were surrounded by water, but they couldn't drink it. And their tongues swelled up, their lips chapped, they got sunburnt, everything started shutting down. But they weren't supposed to drink that ocean water. Now, you know what happened? Some of them, the desire for being back, for having water, the desire for that living water became so strong that they saw what was around them and they thought to themselves, this will do. I'll take this. This will work. It'll work. It's wet. I'll drink it. You know, sometimes Christians, sometimes we can do that with the world. So what we need is the Lord Jesus Christ. What we need is that well at Bethlehem, the one with the good water, the cool water. We need to be there with the Lord. We need to be there with, you know, where David's king. We need to be around in the area where God is and be around that. And we long for that water. Sometimes we settle for the 97% that's not drinkable. And folks, they started losing their mind. They started going crazy. The water, the salt in the water gets in it, it messes with the chemicals in your body, and you go nuts. They started seeing visions out in the middle of the water and jumping away from the safety of the raft they were on and swimming out into oblivion, only to die. Why? Because they were chasing the wrong water. You see, one thing that's common between all those categories is they all had a desire for that living water. You know where it starts? You know how David got back to being king? He had a desire to be back there. He said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well at Bethlehem. Folks, when you're going through a dry spell in your Christian life, you know what you need? You just need a desire to get back. You just need a desire. The Lord is gracious. The well is there. The water is good. Amen? I mean, that woman at the well, yeah, she bantered back and forth, and she was kind of resistant. I'll give you that a little bit. But in the end, she had a desire for that water. Listen, if you're going to get back to where you need to be, if you're not going to be spiritually dry, you have to have that desire. See, many of those people on the Indianapolis, they drank the wrong water. You can't quench your thirst with salt water. You can't quench your thirst with the things the world has to offer. You need the right water. It's not only do you need the right water, but you need a determination. David longed for that water at the well of Bethlehem. And those three men heard their king. Those three men heard they were mighty men. They were some of David's best men. And they heard their king's desire. And they got amongst themselves. You know what they did? They said, I want to make our king happy. I want to give our king what he desires. Let's give the king what he wants. Let's give the king some of that water. And those three men got together and the three of them. Now, David and his men are out in the cave. The Philistines are round about, and their encampment is at Bethlehem. That is like headquarters. And those three guys find out what David desires. And they said, you know what? I don't care what it costs. Let's go get it for him. And those three men strap on their armor. They grab their sword. I bet they were a little stealthy at first. And I bet they tried to avoid combat for a while. And, you know, do the whole Navy SEAL thing. Sneak in by stealth, right? Get around the encampments. Don't get caught. Don't trip any tripwires. I bet they got in there as close as they could. But you know good and well, after a while, somebody saw they were there. And they didn't care. And when that happened, they drew those swords out They got those shields on their arm. And they headed into that encampment, into the headquarters of the Philistines. I don't know how many people they were around that they were facing, but brethren, it wasn't one or two. Right? We're talking three guys. And they weren't even doing it, get this, this is really, really, really good. They weren't even doing it for themselves. Amen? They said, hey, our king wants some water from the well of Bethlehem. And after all the stealth, after all the recon, after planning and the strategy, and they get up as close as they can, soon, I'm sure they were discovered, the swords come out, the battle rages, and they must have had to fight their way through, I don't know how many men, to get to that well. Two of them had to have stood by the well and fought off others while the third one was probably getting the water out of the well. Got it. Slap them on the shoulder. Go! And then they headed back. You want, that took some determination. You know what? We need the water. It's easy to have a desire for the water. You're out in the middle of the ocean. You're stranded. Your ship's been shut out from underneath you. And you're thirsty. It's easy to have a desire. It's easy for David to have a desire out in the cave. Oh, I wish that I was back in that spiritual place where I used to be and I could have the water out of the well of Bethlehem. It's a little bit different when you strap on the sword and you go, okay, I'm going to get it. Amen. Amen. Those three guys, they strapped on the sword. They said, listen, our king wants that water. I'm going to go get it for him. They had some determination within them. They were willing to face whatever it took. Listen, again, when you start to dehydrate, it's painful. It is not pleasant. All right. I've been out in the desert without water for a while on a couple of occasions. One in particular, I remember we couldn't find the car. All those mountains looked the same out there in the middle of the desert. We're starting to get kind of agitated with one another. I mean, we're yelling back and forth at each other. So, you know, it's your fault, it's your fault. It's like, you start getting irritable, you start getting, you know, hard to live with. Listen, you start losing that hydration and your countenance changes. And those three men, they were determined that they were going to go get their king some water. That Indianapolis got hit by two torpedoes. Took about 12 minutes to sink. Harold had just fallen asleep, just went below deck. When those explosions happened, he headed up deck to up top. He tried to find a life vest. He heard the captain yell, "Abandon ship." And he got off that ship. And then, listen, then the battle begun. When you want, you know, when you want that water, it's not necessarily going to be easy to get. That woman at the well, the Lord Jesus Christ offers her a free gift. She's sitting there. You know the story. All right. Well, okay. Give me this free water. Oh, fine. Go get your husband. Right? She's got to do some facing of herself. It's just not very pleasant to have to face. But if you want the water, if you want the water, it takes some determination. Those three guys, those David's three mighty men, they wanted the water for their king. They had to face that garrison. They had to face the battle. Listen, it is not easy to get back to the well of Bethlehem. But it is sweet. It is good. It is worth it. It is incredibly awesome. You know what Edgar Harrell said? He said, I can still see and feel the trauma of swimming those 4.5 days. 4.5 days. This is, he was just interviewed just not too long ago. And this took place back in, what, 40, 42, I think it was? No, was it later than that? In the 40s. He was determined. Listen, by the third day, there was only 17 people left from his group. they spotted a small raft. They got on that raft and started heading to what they thought was the Philippines. They were traveling across the ocean, and later that afternoon, they saw a crate floating in the water. Now, you remember the sharks, right? You remember the sharks, right? They saw a crate floating in the water. But they had a desire for water that they could drink. Think about that, Christian. Do we have a desire for water that we can drink? Yes. But there has to be a little more than just a surface desire. There has to be some determination. Those guys are out there. They have no choice in the matter. David's mighty men had a choice. They could have stayed back. David wouldn't have thought anything bad about them at all. But they had the determination to go out there and get it for their king. Harold was on that raft swimming towards the Philippines, and they saw a crate. He jumps off of the raft, swims over to the crate. Let me ask you this. How bad do you want the water from the well of Bethlehem? You say, I want my spiritual life to be on the mountaintop. Well, join the club. Amen? And it can be. See, the moral of the story is not, the moral of the story is not quit because it's too hard. The moral of the story is these guys got what they wanted. The Lord took care of them. But it took a desire. That woman got what she wanted. Those men that made it from the Indianapolis, they got what they wanted. David, out there in the cave, got what he wanted. Why? Because not only was the desire there, but the determination was there to do what was necessary to get the water from the well of Bethlehem. And he jumps off this raft and he swims over, grabs this crate, brings it back. You remember the sharks, right? I'm sitting here thinking, this guy is gutsy. And he opens it up, and there's potatoes in there. Albeit partially rotten. And that's what they survived on. There was enough moisture. There was enough substance in those potatoes to keep those men alive. I think of that spiritually. Okay, how do I get the water from the well of Bethlehem? I may have to face the garrison of the Philistines. I may have to face some things in the water that are really kind of scary down there and I really don't want to have to think about. But I first have to have the desire and then I have to have some determination. Because, folks, it's not going to be easy to get back to the well of Bethlehem. I wish it was. Sometimes it's easier than at other times. But you have to be determined. All right? You have to be determined to do whatever's necessary to get the water from the well of Bethlehem. But it's sweet water. Amen? It's sweet water. I better hurry. He swam. Gutsy dude. And then finally, not only do you have to have a desire just to get the whole process started, you have to have a determination to follow through with it in the face of some pretty apparently, you know, obstacles that you can't make it over. But you go anyway. I mean, three guys into the garrison of the Philistines. To get water from a well? Really? How's that going to work? The Lord does it. Don't you know, somewhere along that trip, those three guys are heading to that well, and one of those Philistines grabs his sword and says, I got him. I got him. And he goes to lop one of those three guys' heads off, and he trips on a rock and misses. You see, that's how the Lord does it. Protect you through it. And those three men made it back. Those survivors on the Indianapolis, they made it. A lot of them didn't. But a lot of them did. So you need that desire. You need the determination to do whatever it takes to get back to the well at Bethlehem. And if you can muster up those two things, there will be deliverance. Go to Psalm 22. Just hold your place right there for a minute. Now, so about 11 o'clock on the fourth day, you probably know the story. There's Lieutenant Wilbur Gwynn flying an aircraft over, and he spots these men. And he can't get to them, and he radios. Another pilot is dispatched to help, and he gets out there, Captain Doyle, and he lands his plane on the ocean, and he rescues 56 of those men. Edgar Harrell is one of them. He's the last surviving Marine from the survivors off the Indianapolis. He was one of the 56 that got rescued on that plane when it landed. It says almost everyone was pretty much in my condition. You couldn't stand up, even difficult to sit up. He said you were exhausted. You'd probably lost 20 to 25 pounds. He was flown to a hospital in Guam. He was still there when the bomb was dropped. And you think, oh, praise the Lord. When he got to Guam, his appendix burst. After all of that, you see, that determination really has to kick in, right? He got to Guam, his appendix burst. He spent several more weeks in San Diego in a hospital. So they gave him 11.8 million units of penicillin to get him over that. You see, what do we want? What are we after? That woman goes to the well. The Lord Jesus Christ comes up to her, sits down, starts talking with her, and says, if you just knew the gift that I offer you, if we just knew how sweet it was to be that close to the Lord, If we just could, in our Christian life, could grasp just how great it is to have fellowship with the Lord that closely. But it takes a desire to get there. You have to want the water from the well of Bethlehem. Amen? You have to desire it. And then it does take some courage and some guts, because you may have to face some things either about yourself or obstacles in front of you, or overcome some things that are seemingly impossible to get the water. But the Lord is gracious. The Lord will take care of you every step of the way. Don't you know the Lord is right there next to Edgar as he jumped off that raft and swam through that shark-infested water over to that crate, grabbed the crate, and then had to turn around and swim back, pulling a crate. This is after 3 days of no water. It's not like he's fresh off the off the blocks and we're ready to run our Olympic race right now. We're talking, he's almost dead already when he does this. And the Lord sustains him through that. A 11.8 million units of penicillin. He said, I became a pincushion. You see, he got rescued. But that was just the beginning of a full recovery. And sometimes, brethren, sometimes when we're going through a dry spell in our Christian life, sometimes when we're going through a dry spell, we're out in the desert and we've been walking and the sun's beating down and you're starting to blister, you're red, your water level's going down, you're dehydrating, right? You start hallucinating. Sometimes the rescue is just the beginning of a full recovery. And that's okay. It really is. I mean, it would be great if he could rescue these guys, put them on IVs, instantaneously hydrate them. The next day they walk back home to their family and everything is great. But that's usually not the reality of how a recovery happens. It usually takes a little bit of determination in the recovery as well. Amen? Listen, I learned from just thinking about this, the process of recovering back to the place spiritually at the Well of Bethlehem sometimes a little more difficult than what I had envisioned. There could be some complications along the way. But the Lord takes care of me every step of the way anyway. Amen? Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Now everybody is familiar with Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We take great comfort. It's a calming passage. It's an encouraging passage. It's an uplifting passage. It's a passionate passage that we go to when we're struggling and we remember how good the Lord is. But this is the psalm right before that 23rd psalm. 22 starts off, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Really? Right before Psalm 23? Really? Right? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Verse 2, my God, I cry all in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Verse 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despise the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head. Verse 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as ravening and roaring lion. And then it says this. Verse 14. I am poured out like water. Folks, this is a passage, Psalm 22, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? This is what He went through in order to give us Psalm 23. Amen? It says there in verse 14, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up. Look at 16. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. That's one of the greatest prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, right before Psalm 23, all that comfort, you know what he says? He says, I'm poured out like water. You see, the Lord is interested in the deliverance. He's sitting there with that woman at the well, and they banter back and forth, and he tells her what a great gift he has to offer, but he has to let her go through the process of deciding whether she wants it or not. And she finally gets it. She finally gets it, and she says, give me this water. David is sitting out there in the cave of Adullam. The Philistines are garrisoned at Bethlehem, and David's out there basically hiding in the wilderness, and those three mighty men hear David say, oh, that I had a drink from the water of the well of Bethlehem. And those three men hazard their lives and go get David a drink. And they bring it back to him, and they give David the drink. See, David got what he wanted. I don't think David had fully expected them to go get it. I think it was just a longing in his heart. I don't think he expected his three mighty generals, his three mighty men, three mightiest of his men, to run down and get him some water just because he was thirsty. He just had this desire in his heart to be closer to God in type. And those three men took it upon themselves to make that happen. And with that determination, they got him the water. And David looks at that water and he is so awestruck by it that he pours it out to the Lord. That's a high ground. Christian, that's where we want to be. We want the water from the well at Bethlehem. It's not always easy to get. Right? Sometimes the determination that it takes to get there is more than we really anticipated. Sometimes that recovery process, once it gets started, there's some hindrances along the way and the appendix bursts. And Edgar says, I was a pincushion. 11 million units of penicillin? I don't know. How much is that? That's got to be a lot. You see, in our Christian life, sometimes we go through dry spells. And when you do, I want you to remember that woman at the well. I want you to remember those men on the Indianapolis. And I want you to remember King David out in the cave. And his desire was just to have some water from the well of Bethlehem. And I don't think he really thought that that was going to be a reality. But the Lord was there. There were some Christians around him that chipped in to help. Amen? And they hazarded their lives to help get that water from the well of Bethlehem. And they bring it back to him and they give it to him. And he is so honored by that. He offers it to the Lord. The Lord delivers. If you're lost here this morning, listen, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you haven't even gotten the first drink from the well. See, the thing is, the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross to pay for our sins because he knew that without that payment, we would spend eternity in hell. Jesus Christ offers us deliverance, but it cost him also. In the garden, and I'm almost done, he sat there and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, praying, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he had a desire to give us that deliverance. And he willingly was determined to see it through. And they get him in front of, in front of Pilate, and he gets slapped. He gets beaten. He gets whipped. He gets hung on the cross. He gets that spear stuck in his side. He's already dead by that time. And he dies to pay for our sins. But even for him, that wasn't the end. Because there's still 3 days before he rises again. And during that time, I don't know how he did it. I don't know how either it took him 5 minutes or 2.5 days. But during that time, the Lord Jesus Christ, after he died on the cross, took our sins and went down to hell and paid the price, somehow an eternity of punishment for us, and offers us deliverance if we just have faith and trust in him. I could never be good enough to earn that. David goes, Lord, this is for you. Sometimes we go through a spell in Christian life when we're dry. And you know what? You just have to have a desire for some water from the well of Bethlehem. Some determination to see through whatever you need to see through to get that water. And you got to keep in mind, the Lord is there to deliver you. That's the whole reason why he came down and died. Amen? To give you the living water. Isn't that water sweet? Amen. I don't know about you, but I like water. Amen. If you're in a dry spot, I would just invite you, come to the well of Bethlehem. Get a drink of the water. Amen. If you're lost here this morning, I'd invite you to take the living water that the Lord Jesus Christ offered that woman at the well, salvation. If you have any questions or concerns about it at all you need to do is let one of us know. We'd be more than happy to sit down with a Bible, answer any questions that you may have in private, and let you see what that living water is really like. If you just knew the gift that he offered. Amen? Christian, let's go back and get some water from the well of Bethlehem. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you once again for, Lord, for being our God. Father, for the sacrifice that you made on Calvary's cross. Father, not just for our salvation, but you provide that living water, Father, for your children, that we might have sweet fellowship with you. Lord, as Christians, help us to long for the water from the well of Bethlehem, to walk with thee, to talk with thee, to know, Father, that you're our own. Lord, it is a great thing that you did for us on Calvary, and it is a blessing to know that you have a desire to see us delivered, even from the dry spells that we face down here. We thank you, Father, for everything you've done. Praise your name. Just ask that you'd have your way with the invitation. Now, Father, again, if there's anybody here who has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that you would just impress upon them the need for that living water. Father, help them to overcome whatever fear they might have. Help them to open their mouth and have a desire and then a determination to say something and to seek it out. And Father, they too can have a deliverance. We thank you for your goodness. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.